This is Pierre Tristram, editor of FlagrantLive.com, with your weekly reality check. The last time a major democracy was face-to-face with a nationalist, bombastic racist who reviled immigrants and Muslims in particular and pandered to native whites' basest prejudices was in 2002, when France's Jean-Marie Le Pen, leader of the National Front, stunned the world by winning that country's equivalent of its primaries. He ended up in the runoff against the incumbent conservative, Jacques Chirac. The French were so shocked that they did the unthinkable. Liberals and conservatives, socialists and right-wingers, at least right-wingers to the left of Le Pen's party, linked arms and voted together. They not only wanted to ensure that Le Pen would have no chance, but to send a message to his kind of extremism. A neo-fascist menace to democracy like him should not even have a credible showing in election results. He didn't. Chirac trounced him with 82% of the vote. Republicans and Democrats clearly haven't reached a similar grand bargain in the United States. Hillary Clinton appears set to beat our neo-fascist rerun, but by a miserable margin, if that. I don't know if I'd call that a victory, considering what it'll say about a country where nearly half the voters can find a dangerous alternative like Trump preferable. The burden is on Trump opponents to understand why. I'm willing to believe that to many Trump supporters he really is distasteful, but that he's not Clinton, and he's the guy who can supposedly run the country like a business. Maybe it comes down to that, since he's polling better than Clinton on the economy. But is that what we want? The record is pretty lousy when it comes to that. Both Bush presidents ran on their business credentials. Their two presidencies combined ended up netting the economy fewer jobs than the first 2 years of Obama's current term. Obama managed to create more jobs in his first term than in both of George W. Bush's terms combined, despite inheriting the most catastrophic recession since the Great Depression. And he'll finish his second term with about 10 million jobs created. Not bad for a Muslim Kenyan community organizer who, of course, like Clinton, wants to destroy America. Jimmy Carter is considered a businessman president because of his peanut farming. He only lasted one term and netted us one of the most depressing words of the presidency: malaise. Then there's Calvin Coolidge and Herbert Hoover, architect and enabler of the Great Depression. That's about it as far as businessmen presidents are concerned. Not a very brilliant or reassuring list. And in every one of those cases, except Hoover, the presidents had been governor, senator, vice president. They weren't government illiterate, in other words. Trump is. Yet somehow, he's got the qualifications to be the leader of the free world. That I don't get. Nor this. Say what you will, he's demonstrably not a better businessman than Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Jeff Bezos, or Mark Zuckerberg, the four richest and arguably most successful businessmen in America today. Unlike bankruptcy-prone casinos, cheesy hotels, or phallic eyesores on the Manhattan skyline, the work they do has actually changed our lives, down to our underwear, often for the better. But none of them would make a good president, and all of them know it, because all of them know, also, that what they can do as executives of private firms doesn't and cannot translate to what they must do as presidents. The federal government is not a company. Take it from Forbes, Gospel of American Business. We should no more want the government to be run like a business than a business to be run like the government. Five businessmen president proved it at our expense. Let's not make it six, with a neo-fascist to boot. This is Pierre Tristram, editor of FlagrantLive.com, your 24-hour online news source. Thanks for listening.